Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite you to open your pew Bible to the reading from 1 Thessalonians 5. It's on page 988. This is the epistle for Advent 3, which is 9 days from now, so many or all of us will hear the reading a week from Sunday. And it's a great reading. You might say it's inspired. It offers different possibilities for preaching. I think it would be hard to try to preach on all 9 verses. Part of that is because, strictly speaking, they're not very well organized in a logical sequence. It's more sort of like apostolic one-liners. I also think you could preach an entire sermon on any one of the exhortations that Paul gives here. So it's easy to imagine an entire sermon on pray without ceasing or test the spirits. So any one of those would be a good basis for perhaps a more topical sermon. But in the brief time that we have normally allotted for a chapel homily, I decided to try something a little different. I'm going to come back to the reading at the end of the homily. And my goal will be perhaps for us to receive these words in a way that might be something like how Paul's original hearers received them, that is to say, at the end of a letter, or as the end of a letter. Because these verses, as I said, aren't really an argument, they're not really a challenge, it's a kind of a relaxed conclusion. It's the winding down of the first letter to the Thessalonians. Now, Paul's writing this letter to people who likely have not been believers for very long at all, perhaps a matter of only a few weeks. It's hard to be sure about these things, but if the book of Acts is being complete in chapter 17, Paul was in Thessalonica for a couple of weeks. Some people became believers, and then Paul was run out of town to Berea, and he was there for a couple of weeks. And then he was harassed and sent down to Athens. And so Paul is, frankly, worried about how his spiritual children are doing up there in Thessalonica. So he sends Timothy up north to check on things. And now we read in this letter that Timothy has returned, and the Christians seem to be doing just fine. Apostolic relief. Right? They're doing fine. And so Paul writes this letter, and the verses before us are the conclusion. And they make sense because they're at the end, because of what Paul has already written. Now, it'd be nice if we had the time or the patience to hear all of 1 Thessalonians read and then to read these verses at the end, But rather than that, I'll draw on 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to say some things which are true about you, and then we'll look at the text again. And if God is gracious, the verses will make sense. First thing to say is this. I'm so thankful to be able to say that God has chosen you. I'm so thankful for that. Now, I know that he's chosen you because his word, his gospel, has come among you with great effect and power. His word has transformed you and is transforming you. Because you trust in him, and that trust is powerfully at work, and there is a love among you that would not be there if he had not chosen you. And you are living in hope. Hope that Jesus will return in power and glory. God has chosen you. Now, he hates idolatry, and his anger one day will come against all idolatry, but you have turned away from other gods, and you're waiting for his son. God's Son Jesus has saved you, and he will save you from the wrath that will come. Second, there's this. There have been men in your lives, and through them God's word has come to you. Those men, at times, were more gentle than you, among you, than a nursing mother with her child. Those men became like fathers to you, encouraging, guiding you to be Christians. There have been men and women, pastors and teachers and parents and others who have made that difference in your lives. And they are making that difference right now. You know what I'm talking about. You know all of this. You know. Third, because God's word has come among you, you are willing to suffer rather than let go of that word. And even though life is hard, you're standing fast. And God is at work, and he's increasing more and more in you the love that you have for him and for one another. Fourth, I want you to hear again the call to be sanctified in Christ, that is, to be set apart in a special way for him, and especially in the important area of your sexuality. Because our bodies matter, and our choices in this area can bring great good, or they can bring great harm to ourselves and to others. And I want to remind you that God is quite serious about this. In fact, when there is wrongdoing, he will avenge it. Now, fifth, I know that the world's brokenness has been beating hard against you because you have brothers and sisters who have died. They've died before the Lord has returned. So I want you to grieve them, but I don't want you to grieve as those who have no hope. Because when Jesus comes, those people will rise first. That's the plan, actually. When Jesus comes again, the dead in Christ will rise first. There'll be a trumpet, and you'll finally have to stop wondering about what the voice of an archangel sounds like, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then together with them, we will meet the Lord, who will be coming down to repair the world. So in your grief, I want you to remind each other of these words as often as you need to, because the day is coming and you belong to Jesus Christ, who has chosen you, and you live looking for the day, for that great, incredible, fearful, wonderful day that is coming soon. And I just wanted to tell you these things, and I'm so thankful and happy to see that you're standing firm. So, in conclusion, even when life is hard, I want you to keep on rejoicing always. And because there's so many needs all around us, pray without ceasing. If you'll remember that God is always at work, then you'll be able to give thanks in every circumstance. This rejoicing, this praying, this giving thanks is God's will in Christ for you. Because you are treasuring God's word, I don't want you to quench the spirit, but in every way that God's word comes to you, treasure it. To be sure, test everything that you hear, and I want you to watch out for evil in all of its forms. Brothers and sisters, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole self, every single part of you, your body, your soul, your spirit, be kept blameless when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God has called you. God is faithful, and he will do it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.